Inshallah, a short hadith lesson will take place with the request to participate. مختصر درس حدیث ہوگا ساتھ شرکت ترمہ انشاءاللہ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد الحمد لله last week we started this chapter باب الحث على الأكل من عمل يده والتعفف به عن السؤال والتعرض للإعطاء Okay. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brought this chapter in which he encourages through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person should eat from the amal yadihi. They should earn their livelihood by making effort, by making mehnat. They should not be lazy and sit around and say, oh, why is our rizq? Why are our needs not being met? This is the biggest complaint of this era. People don't want to work hard. And we say that our elders worked hard. They gave blood and sweat and didn't waste a single moment. They came from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, wherever, with £5, £10, £15. And then, you know, Allah Ta'ala gave them barakah. They have businesses, they have shops, they have houses, they have so many houses. And it didn't just come magically, you know. They don't speak the language of the country. They don't understand the culture of the country. But they worked hard. And now is a day and age where no one wants to work hard. All the youngsters you meet, they are just happy. As long as parents can keep feeding them, they will be fed. And bichari, the girls have to work harder than the boys. The girls are at home cleaning, cooking, helping. And the boys are sitting, playing games, watching TV, watching the football. Football finished, let's watch the highlights. Highlights finished, let's watch match of the day. Match of the day is finished. Let's talk about everything that we watched. All the way till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning until we're exhausted. Then we go to sleep, wake up the next day at Zuhar time. And then our day is starting 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And before you know it, it's night time again. The same cycle. Allah forgive us, this is the reality now. Nobody wants to work hard anymore. Everybody just hopes somebody is going to feed them, look after them. And we complain so much. He didn't do this for me. My parents didn't do anything for me. My parents didn't set up anything for me. You didn't do this for me. Complaints. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought this chapter for myself and for all of us. Okay, we need to work hard. And last week we went through the Quranic ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَعَدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ When the salah is completed, then scatter upon the earth and seek from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is finished. You've done your ibadah of salah, one aspect of ibadah, which is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now go and earn a halal livelihood. This is also part of ibadah. Deen is not just sitting there with the tasbih and doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forgetting and foregoing the haqq of everything, everybody else and forgetting about everything else. Imam Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, it's mentioned about him. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he came across a person who was just doing ibadah. He would just sit there doing ibadah and he would depend on his brother to feed him. So he was there doing ibadah in the masjid, worshipping Allah Ta'ala, and he would rely on his brother, okay, my brother is going to feed me. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said, أَخُوكَ أَعْبَدُ مِنْكَ Your brother is a greater abid than you are. So you're sitting here, sitting in the masjid, mashallah in Masjid Hamza, warm and the floor heating with the tasbih, with the Qur'an, so easy. You don't even, you know, you'll sweat because of the heat. You'll not sweat because of hard work. said, your brother is more of an abid than you. Look at the amount of effort he's exerting. He's going out there, he's tired. There are many, you know, narrations, subhanAllah, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with such a person who, due to being tired from work, goes to sleep. Out of tiredness from work, he falls asleep. Allah ta'ala is happy with him. That at least his entire day was spent in earning his halal livelihood, feeding his family members, providing for other people. So this first ayah Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brings, and then he brings a few narrations. I'll go through them very, very quickly. Wa an Abi Abdullah Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la an ya'khudha ahadukum ahbulahu thumma ya'ti al-jabal فيأتي بحزمة من حطب على ظهره فيبيعها فيكف الله بها وجهه خير له من أن يسأل الناس أعطوه أو منعوه رواه البخاري. سيدنا أبو عبد الله زبير بن العوام رضي الله عنه from the عشرة المبشرة the great صحابة greatest of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that every single Nabi has a hawari, has a close companion, and my hawari and my close companion is Zubayr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, my neighbors in Jannah will be Talha and Zubayr, with one Allah ta'ala alayhima. So he's called Abu Abdullah because his son was Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who became a khalifa after Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu of Makkah and the surrounding areas. So Sayyidina Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, لَأَنْ يَأْخُذَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَحْبُلَهُ, for one of you to take his ropes, ثُمَّ يَأْتِيَ الْجَبَلَ, and then to go to a mountain, فَيَأْتِي بِحُزْمَةٍ مِّنْ حَطَبٍ عَلَى ظَهْرِهِ, and to bring back firewood tied onto their back, is فَيَبِيعَهَا, and then to sell it in the marketplace, فَيَكُفَّ اللَّهُ بِهَا وَجْهَهُ, and through this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save them from disgrace, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect their face, meaning for Allah ta'ala to save them from shame, from disgrace, from embarrassment, is better for him than to beg from people, to ask from people, maybe they might give it to him, maybe they might not give it to him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, rather than even bringing this thought into one's mind, I'll ask this person or I'll ask that person, do anything to earn your livelihood. Even if it is taking some rope, going into the mountains, getting firewood and selling it in the marketplace. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, by doing this, you will protect your face. And the ulama explained, meaning you will not have to fall into any kind of humiliation. You will not have to humiliate yourself in front of the creation of Allah ta'ala. If you ask from someone, they might give it to you. So you might, you know, your needs might be met. But the amount of self-degradation you had to go through, self-humiliation you had to go through to get what you want, if you don't feel that humiliation, then there's something wrong here. Okay? Naturally, every single human being should want to be independent. Nobody should say, it's okay, I'm going to go to everybody. But this is the, unfortunately, a lot of people have this habit. Okay? They're happy to ask from people, happy to lean on people, happy to rely from people. How many stories we hear about this brother in the family, or this, I don't know, ugly duckling or odd sheep or whatever it is, who just leans on everybody else. He's the eldest in the family. I hear in our masjid, the brother's not here now, so I can mention, what should we do? He's still living with mum, we've all married, we've all moved out. He's the eldest, he's not married, he doesn't want to marry. And he stays with mum, and mum, bichari, she's 70, I don't know, odd, old, so such an old lady. Because she's got a house, he stays there. And then he's blaming everybody else, people don't give, and he's in his 40s, 50s, he's not married, he's half depressed. So these people, they, you know, unfortunately they ruin themselves, they damage themselves. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, even if you go and somebody gives you something, it's still you have to go through humiliation. So even if I go to Maulana Ibrahim sahab, can you please, give me £1,000? One is borrowing. Borrowing is permissible. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself borrowed. As long as there's a valid reason for borrowing, borrowing is a form of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you rizq from another sabab. And you know in your mind, inshallah, Allah ta'ala will provide me from somewhere else and I'll give it back to him. That's still a sign of istighna and independence. But one is begging. Ajay, help me out, help me out, help me out. So maybe he'll give it to me, but the amount of self-humiliation, every time I go to see him, I'll feel to myself, oh, I took money of him. I'm always taking money of him. So to live with that is very difficult. And secondly, he might refuse. He might say, I don't have it. That's even more humiliating. How much I had to go through to mentally prepare myself to come and ask for him, and then he said, I can't give it to you, I'm sorry. So it's very humiliating. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, better than this, take firewood, go into the mountains, you know, get some, take ropes, go into the mountain, get some firewood and sell it. This is better for you, and you are earning from your own halal livelihood. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن يحتطب أحدكم حزمة على ظهره خير له من أن يسأل أحدا فيعطيه أو يمنعه وعنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كان داود لا يأكل إلا من عمل يده رواه البخاري وعنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كان زكريا عليه السلام نجارا رواه مسلم. So Rasulullah Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates about two Anbiya alayhi salam. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam has mentioned that Dawood alayhi salam, he never used to eat anything other than the other than the earnings of his own hands. Dawood alayhi salam, Nabi of Allah, the great Nabi of Allah, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed, and his son Sulaiman alayhi salam was, Allah ta'ala had blessed him with such a huge kingdom and dominion. But Dawood alayhi salam would never take from anybody else. He would work and he would earn his livelihood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made iron soft, malleable for Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. And it's mentioned that Dawood alayhi salam is the first person to actually make a coat of armor, because Allah ta'ala gave him the ability to make a coat of armor and many other things made out of iron and steel. He could mold it with his bare hands. Allah ta'ala had given him this as a mu'jiza and as a miracle. So he would make coats of armor and he would sell it. And he would make other things and he would sell it. Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, the next narration mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam has stated that Zakariya alayhi salam was a carpenter. The Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam, فَكَفَّلَهَا Zakariya, the one who looked after Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, he was a carpenter. He would, what carpenter does, make things, objects, etc., and they sell it. Similarly, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, some narration mentions Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam was a carpenter. That's the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilized his talents in building the ark. And in narration we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself mentioned that all of the Anbiya alayhi salam who came before me, they were all shepherds. يَرْعَى الْغَنَمْ, they would all herd sheep. And it's authentic narration. Meaning the Anbiya alayhi salam, they had professions. Where someone says, well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after he became a prophet of Allah, he didn't have a profession. We don't see him earning a livelihood himself, going out and earning a livelihood. So would we not say it's sunnah to not earn a livelihood? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't do it. Well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam never gave the adhan himself. Would we say it's not sunnah to give the adhan? Gee, still sunnah to give the adhan, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the virtues of giving adhan, the importance of giving the adhan. So it's sunnah to give the adhan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam never gave ghusl to a dead body. It's not sunnah to give ghusl to a dead body. Somebody else should do it, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself didn't do it. So many virtues for helping out in the ghusl and the takfeen, the shrouding and the janazah. The point is, just because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do something, we have to see what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam encourage. What were his teachings? So his teachings are also the sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam not doing it, adamu shay', for something not to happen does not mean that it's not sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's encouragement is that even we know that sunnah can also be something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taqdeer. It took place in front of him, he agreed with it, and he didn't stop it. That can also be regarded as sunnah. Sometimes the sahaba eating something in front of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not stopping them. Matlab, that's also sunnah, you can eat it. So the point is that it is a sunnah. And beyond that, last week the point that I mentioned, that someone who is busy acquiring ilm, and all the other stories and the narrations that we have, that the two brothers, one brother would come into the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learn ilm. Another brother would say, Ya Rasulullah, he doesn't, you know, he's not making an effort to come earn our livelihood, or to earn the daily bread. I have to provide for everyone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَعَلَّكَ تُرْزَقُ بِهِ, maybe Allah ta'ala is giving you rizq because you have allowed him to go and learn ilm. That's different to doing ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because you can do ibadah while you are working. And learning ilm is something that you have to dedicate your time for. Learning ilm is something, and becoming an expert in ilm and mastering the ilm of deen is something that you cannot do with a job. You can do it part-time, of course, like a person can do it part-time. But if somebody seriously wants to acquire ilm, then they have to have tafarrugh and total dedication. And that's the reason why, you know, all the other stories which are there of the pious people, you know, when someone has dedicated their life for the sake of ilm, they say, you know what, we'll look after their needs. Otherwise, there won't be any big ulama, great ulama who are going to be produced. Everyone will say, Nabi, I'm not going to give you opportunity. As soon as you hit 16, you're grafting in the takeaway. Well, I don't know, whatever else, taxi. So now he's working day and night and saying, I want to learn ilm, I don't have time. And by the time you know he's married, by the time you know he's got children, by the time you know it, life's gone by. So some people have to dedicate their life for the sake of acquiring ilm of deen and spreading ilm of deen. And others have to help them to do that. Well, ibadah, we can do buying and selling. As the money, Yahya sab rahmatullahi alayhi, the father of Shaykh al-Hadith, Zakariya sab rahmatullahi alayhi, he owned a bookshop. And his business was in selling books. And this is how he would earn his livelihood. But his son, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mullah Zakariya sahab rahmatullah alayhi, says, my father would never, his tongue was always engaged in the tilawat of Qur'an. He goes just reciting, he just complete khatam after khatam after khatam after khatam after khatam. And he's getting his stock and he's selling it and this and that. And beyond that, he had time where he would dedicate to teaching as well. And this was something that ran in that family. Never to take a money for the service, never to take anything for service of deen. The service of deen should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that ulama are very particular about. I was listening to, I think, Mawlana Ibrahim Dawla Sahib or one of the other great ulama who was mentioning that, you know, all these years I've taught for the sake of deen, and now in my elderly age, Allah ta'ala opened up some doors with this huge zameen, this huge land came into my possession, I think through inheritance. He said, I sold all of that, all the money I got from that, I gave it back to the madrasa from which I had acquired money for teaching deen. So I'm left with nothing, but my mind is clear. That if I am to die now, I have, you know, I've not taken any financial gain for teaching of deen. So this is something that we, especially myself, we have to be very, very careful about. Here, all of our good deeds are not lost in, you know, monetary, things of monetary value. One more hadith left of the chapter, inshallah, we'll very quickly do. وَعَنِ الْمِقْدَامِ بْنِ مَعْدِي كَرِبَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالْ مَا أَكَلَ أَحَدٌ طَعَامًا قَطُّ خَيْرًا مِنْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ وَإِنَّ نَبِيَّ اللَّهِ دَاوُودَ كَانَ يَأْكُلُ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ رواه البخاري. سيدنا مقدام بن معدي كرب رضي الله عنه narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that no one ever ate any food which was better than the food which he acquired through his own hard work. Meaning it wasn't given to him, it wasn't charitably donated to him, through his own hard work. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the best food you can eat is food that you work hard and you gain that. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the Nabi of Allah, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, he would only eat from the earnings of his own hands. So inshallah, we need to all be active, energetic. Person has financial needs, we all have financial needs. But before I have time, I can use that time to get some profession, some job, some income. And the ulama talk about what's the best types of income. Allama Mawardi rahmatullahi alayhi in his famous kitab, he mentions that there are three types of jobs which are the best types of jobs. People are in different professions. We said the three natural types of jobs, best types of jobs. It's tijara, business, sana'a, building something, whether you're in carpentry, you know, engineering, mechanic, whatever else it might be, building something, making something, tijara, business, doing business, and zira'ah, so being a farmer and growing the crops and working in the... He said these are the three jobs from the beginning of time till the end of time, people will be in need of them, and these are the three best types of jobs. Of course, other types of jobs can be best with what intention. You can see a doctor, if he's doing practicing medicine to help other people, subhanAllah, so much benefit. And that's one thing the ulama mentioned. They talk about, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, from these three best type of jobs, which one is the most virtuous? So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, business is the best profession. But then he said, I respectfully disagree. I think zara'a, you know, farming, or sana'a, you know, building and making things for people is better. Why? Because you're actually helping people. With business, you're helping people as well. But he said, this is, you're actually catering to people's need. People are going to come, I need this done, I need this done, I need this done. And you're helping people. And you can have the intention of helping other people as well. And Allah Ta'ala will put barakah in it. There's something we've heard in the elders of Tabligh mentioning time and again. that everybody should try and do some kind of business and, you know, have tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just go for it. And inshallah Allah ta'ala will open the doors. And this is the way rizq is earned. Nobody knows where a person's rizq is written. Nobody knows. So last week the hadith was mentioned, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gifted him something. So ya Rasulullah, please give it to somebody else who might need it more than me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, this is a rizq from Allah ta'ala. You don't just push it away. This might have been the rizq that was written for you. You have no idea where your rizq is coming from. Even if you're working very hard, possibly that will not suffice you. Maybe your rizq is written from somewhere else, but you never expected it. And this is where tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala comes in, that we place our hope in Allah Ta'ala, we work, we do whatever we can to please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and inshallah Allah Ta'ala will look after our needs. We are ready to do this inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give myself all the tawfiq. Subhanallah.